There you go. That, if that don't light your fire, your wood's wet. Amen? It's good stuff. Turn to your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I know some of you said, that pastor, he has ADD. He'll never finish that group of messages on love. But we're going to finish it today. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And this is a series of messages we've been preaching over the last couple of months. And we took a little break the last 2 or 3 weeks. Coming back and finishing up. And the series of messages is on the nature of love, or if you want to say the definition of love. And I want you to remind you this morning that love is certainly not the love that we see in Hollywood. That's not love. What is love then? What is love? Well, biblical love is selflessness. It's defined for us, even. Jesus said, Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, "Whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even also to them, for this is all the law and the prophets." Jesus takes all those Old Testament laws and he summarizes them down to one basic law: love your neighbor as you love yourself. Paul does it even takes it even further in Romans, there in chapter 10. He says that love is the fulfilling of the law. Love. So we can define love then. It's very easy. Love is treating others as you'd want to be treated. Love is selflessness. Self-sacrificing. Love. That is genuine, true, biblical love. As displayed and as shown for us in the greatest way through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and what He did for us on Calvary. Self-sacrificing. That is love. Sin is not loving. 1 John 3:4 says that sin is a transgression of the law. In other words, sin is breaking the law, and the law is loving others as you love yourself. So therefore, sin is being selfish. Yeah. It's being selfish. And the Bible says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says, for all have sinned. Amen. And have come short of the glory of God. So sin is being selfish. And the Bible states very, very clearly that all are selfish by nature. You do not have to teach a child to be selfish. You have to instruct them otherwise. And sometimes with the Board of Education applied to the seat of understanding. Or maybe you do that timeout thing. I'll give you a timeout. Okay, whatever. Selfish by nature. You don't have to teach a child how to take a toy away from another child. We're selfish. Adults, we're no better. You know, we see somebody drive up in a brand new car. We say, man, I'd like to have that. I want that. We're selfish by nature. We see others in their capacities, whatever it may be. We're jealous. We're selfish by nature. It's our nature. I'm thankful I got saved. I received a new nature. A new want to. Now, Romans chapter 7 says we still, my old nature and my new nature still butting heads a lot. There's a war within me, Paul said. But I'm so thankful for salvation. I'm so thankful my sins have been forgiven. I've been given a home in heaven. But I'm thankful that I have a new nature, a different want to. The Bible says, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I have a different desire today than I did before I got saved. I have a desire to please the Savior. I have a desire to follow in His steps. I have a desire to love as He loved. And so love is selflessness. Look at there, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We are going to do some review today, so review is the best teacher. Look at chapter 4. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Let me stop and remind you that charity means love in action. Charity means love in action. It's talking about that visible action. I haven't said this yet, but when we think of charity, sometimes we think of a charity like the Salvation Army. And that's not what this word is really talking about. This word is not really relating that. Because you can give to the Salvation Army and do so without loving. I mean, you can do so to get a tax benefit, or you can do so out of a guilt. And so charity, as we think about a charity, is not necessarily what it's speaking of here. This the Greek word found here, it does mean love, but I want you to know the King James gets it right. The King James Bible gets it right because it means more than love. It means love in action. Love in action. In other words, it's more than just telling someone you love them. It's showing them that you love them. Love in action. We've always said that love is spelt what? T-I-M-E. That goes for kids. If a parent truly loves their child, they won't just tell them. They should tell them, but they should also show them. If you love your spouse, you won't just tell them you love them, but you will show them that you love them. Love in action. By the way, you should tell them as well. So we've clarified that several times. But we must show them as well. Look at verse 5. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not our own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Verse 7. This is where we're at today, where we stopped at verse 6 last time we preached on it. Verse 7. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. And we'll stop there. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you today again for your love for us, the sacrifice that your Son made on Calvary, that in order we might have eternal life, the love that was displayed there. Help us, Lord, to emulate that love. Help us, Lord, to be imitators of Christ and his selflessness. In Jesus' name, amen. Here we again, I want to remind you that Paul is addressing the church at Corinth. So he's addressing a particular church. It would be just as if Paul came in here today, stood up here and began to address problems in this church. He's addressing problems. He is taking care of problems that were in the Corinthian church that he founded. And so they were so caught up in the gifts that they had received. They were so caught up in the outward gifts that they had left off loving one another properly. So he's reminding them that love is the greatest gift. That love is the greatest gift to have. And so, number one, he says, love suffereth long. We're going to review. Everybody hang in there. It's going to take a little bit to the review. So we're going to give 10 minutes to review. Ready? Love suffereth long. That means love is patient. It's the capacity to put up with pain, trouble, difficulties, and hardship without complaint or ill temper. In other words, love is it does not retaliate. It's able to put up with junk. Well, we put up with a lot of junk, don't we? And love suffereth long. Two, love is kind. The word kind means pleasant or beneficial in action, friendly. I like this one. Sympathetic, helpful, thoughtful, gentle. It's the application would be of saying thank you and saying please and being kind and remembering special days such as Mother's Day. Remembering to get a card for your spouse. Remembering Valentine's Day. Remembering your spouse's birthday, your children's birthday. That love is kind. It's gracious. It's kind. It's pleasing. Number three, love envieth not. Envieth not. Definition is a feeling of antagonism towards someone because of some good which he is enjoying, but which one does not have oneself. It's really sister to jealousy. Love envieth not. Love looks at someone whom God is blessing and rejoices with them and doesn't become jealous of them. Everyone with me? Love envieth not. Number four, love vaunteth not itself. It does not show off or boast or brag. It does not do things to seek praise and adoration. All right? So, in other words, a good illustration would be, if I'm going to give to the Salvation Army, I should do so without wanting anything in return, any praise or adoration directed towards me. So when we say that love vaunteth not itself, it's a motivational issue. What is your motivation for doing something for someone? Is it so someone will pat you on the back? When you get to the church, do you give so that somebody will pat you on the back? When you serve, do you do so somebody will pat you on the back? Love vaunteth not itself. It does not seek applause. All right. Number five, love is not puffed up. That word puffed up means to be inflated. There's a whole other sermon. Love is humble. Humble. It's humble. It does not have an exaggerated idea of one's own importance. Sometimes we feel like what we do makes us irreplaceable. And we can become puffed up and arrogant. Love is not puffed up. Everybody still? Everybody alive? Love does not behave itself unseemly. That means it's not rude or ill-mannered. It's always courteous. It's, again, speaking about having good manners. There's also a side to this one that I did not really go into, but really it means it has a it has an intimacy subject as well. We did not go into that, but it does not behave itself unseemly. It's not immoral, right? Does not behave itself unseemly. Next, love seeketh not her own. In other words, love is self-forgetful. Self-forgetful. Seeketh not her own. Love serves. Jesus came not to be ministered unto, but to what? Minister. Love serves. Does not seek her own. Next is love is not easily provoked. Does not have a bad temper. Is not easily offended. How many people you know that are easily offended? Well, that's not love. Ill tempers, that's not love. Bad tempers destroy and ruin a lot of homes. Love does not lose its temper. Dad, when you lose your temper, you're not loving properly. Mom, when you start yelling and losing your temper, you're not loving properly. Not as Jesus would love. Bad tempers ruin children. You say, I can't help it. I'm a man. I'm supposed to be, you know. No, it's not what the Bible says. Well, my daddy was... We're not trying to copy our daddy. We're trying to copy our Heavenly Father. We need to control our tempers in the home. Love is not easily provoked. Next, love thinketh no evil. Thinketh no evil. This speaks about keeping a record of... In other words, we should keep a record of many kindnesses that it receives, but not of the wrongs it suffered. Love thinketh no evil. It keeps a record of the kindnesses that have been received, but not of the wrongs that have been received. It's forgiving. Forgiving. By the way, Jesus forgave us. Amen. So we should forgive others. Sometimes we harbor bitterness because we don't forgive people. Amen. Love is forgiving. Next, love rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. Rejoiceth in truth. In other words, love is never glad when others go wrong. Love does not condemn the sin. Love may condemn the... Hang on, let me make this right. Love does not condemn the sinner, but condemns the sin. In other words, when the woman in adultery was brought to Jesus, remember that? If you don't, just follow along. When they brought that lady caught in adultery to Jesus, what did he do? He stooped down, began to write in the dirt, and he said to the crowd, he who is without sin, cast the first stone. And they all left. And he said to the woman, where are thy accusers? Go, what did he say to her? Go and sin no more. He didn't condone her sin, but he loved her. And this is where we get the concept of loved the sinner, but we can still hate the sin. By the way, this same principle is applied many, many times in the New Testament, where Jesus sat with sinners, ate with sinners, but did not condone their sin. I'm addressing this again because I think we should. Amen. At this point. Amen. Last week while I was gone, there was a great subject brought in front of the Supreme Court. The most important decision since Roe versus Wade is going to be happening here in the next month or two. They said they're going to have the report out in June, and that is on the homosexual marriage. You can't have a marriage that's homosexual anyway. It doesn't make sense. We can love the sinner, but we can hate the sin. Amen. Being a homosexual is immoral.
Amen.
To compare homosexuality and put it on the same level as someone's skin or someone's age or whether a person is a man or a woman is ludicrous. Amen. You can't change the color of your skin. But you are not born a homosexual. You say, preacher, well, that's not what science on both sides, folks. I'm just going to hold to this. Hey. By the way, I believe this is above the science book. You say, well, what about SSA, same-sex attraction? I'm not saying someone doesn't have a tendency and lean that direction. But I'm saying with the Bible and with the Lord's help, they don't have to give into that. It's the same way with an alcoholic. There is some who are predisposed, if you would, to be an alcoholic, to be a drunk. But that does not mean they have to give into it. And unlike some of these stinking commercials that says alcoholism is a disease, it is not a disease. It's a choice. But we should love them. We should be kind to them. But we should not condone it. And I'm telling you right now, you vote for a politician who agrees with that side, you're going against the Bible. Listen closely this morning. If you vote for a politician who has standing in immorality, you're voting against the Bible and you're voting against the Lord. And you and I need to be careful. We need to be careful. There's some good guys to vote for this time. Vote for them. Stand up for right. And churches all across America need to be saying exactly what I'm saying. And saying without apology that America's at a crossroads. And we need to stand for right. We need to stand for the Bible. And there are many preachers across this country who are mamby-pamby idiots who won't stand up and do what I've done. It makes me sick. Because they won't stand for the Bible. By the way, what I've just said, if we're not careful, if the Supreme Court goes the wrong way, I may go to jail for it. You say, preacher, that'll never happen. It's already happening.
Amen.
You know, you decide not to bake a cake for a homosexual wedding and you lose your business. And then they come after your house. They come after you personally. You say, that's not happening. Yes, it is. Go read about it. Chief fireman was praised for his valor and all the things. Fired for what he said about this same subject. I'm telling you, folks, get your head out of the sand. quit being an ostrich. Get your head up and do something.
Amen.
Right? I'm glad I live in a conservative Texas, but it's coming this way too. The state of Virginia, one of those states just here recently. I know I'm spending some time on this, but well, it's all good. In the state of Virginia, the federal government, the education department, just pushed a major school system, one of the top 10 school systems in America as far as size, and said to them, if you do not change your standing, we're going to withhold federal funding. If you don't put transgender and homosexuals on the same level and accept them as you do the color of skin and the person's gender, then we will withhold your funding. That just happened last week. You say, if that'll happen in Virginia, if that'll happen in that state, they'll come to Northwest ISD one day and say, listen, if you don't change your policy and your stand on this subject, we'll take away your federal funding. You say, preacher, that won't happen in Texas. Yes, it will. Now back to our subject. That is our subject now. I can get up here and I can get very, very... By the way, Jesus got angry and sinned not.
Amen.
We get angry about immorality and we ought to.
Amen.
But remember, we ought to preach the truth in love.
Amen.
And certainly, we ought to be kind to those we disagree with.
Right.
We can disagree without being disagreeable. We can be kind to those who are of that persuasion and of that, and I'm not going to use the word lifestyle, that's ridiculous too, but to use that term, we can be kind to them. In fact, Jesus was kind to them. He sat with sinners. He ate with them. We need to be careful. Love rejoiceth in not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. We need to rejoice in the truth. Don't rejoice in iniquity. I've taken some time. Now, next, our subject today. Love beareth all things. If you shut me off already, that's all right. We'll get along all right. I'll love you anyway. Love beareth all things. This means love does not retaliate when suffering wrong, but gets under the load of life and bears it to the limit. Bears it to the limit. There's a great example, of course, of this in Jesus' own life when he patiently bore the suffering, and then even prayed on the cross, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. All the suffering that he bore, all the pain that he endured throughout his life, and there on the cross he did for you and for me. He bore under all things.
He bore under all things. He put on the load of sin. The Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all, Isaiah says. He bore the load. That word bear in the Greek means, bears means covers and protects. I'm glad the Lord covers and protects us. And as we as Christians, we beareth all things. That means we get under the load, but we don't, and under the suffering, but we don't retaliate when others treat us wrong. We don't retaliate when we go through the suffering, but we bear under the load. We bear under the suffering. We cover it. The principle of love hides a multitude of sins, right? Think about an oyster. How's a pearl created? A piece of sand gets inside the oyster. The oyster can't get rid of the evil, can't get rid of the irritant, but instead covers it and uses its own nutrients to cover that speck of sand and eventually becomes a pearl. When we're under the load, we're simply to cover it. Not to retaliate during the suffering, but to cover it. To bear under the load. Love beareth all things. Love believeth all things. I'm in verse 7 now. Love believeth all things. Does not mean to be gullible. Does not mean to be blind or easily deceived. But love is basically not suspicious. Love believeth all things. It takes the kindest view of others in every circumstance as long as it possibly can. It gives the benefit of a doubt. It looks at a person and is kind to them and gracious to them, not blind, but as long as they possibly can, it gives the benefit of a doubt. Jesus loves sinners, amen? He loves sinners. We have a tendency to view every act in suspicion. We do. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. That's not biblical. It's not biblical. That's not love. Love is not suspicious of the other one, but thinks the best possible good of others, even after they have made you suffer, even after they've done you wrong. Man, you are quiet. Remember I said at the beginning, you've got to say some amens, or I'll keep going. Love believeth all things. Next, love hopeth all things. Love hopeth all things. When love is disappointed in the one in whom it trusted, it will yet hope for better things. And although others have long since ceased to do so. In other words, when others have given up on a person, love will continue. You will continue to love that person and have hope in that person. Oliver Twist, and I'm not going to go into that book, but there's great examples of this. People give up on people so quickly. You know, somebody does you wrong, you give up on them. You know, right? Yeah. You know, if somebody does something that's just not right down your alley, you just mark them off your list. Yeah. So I'm done with them. That's not biblical. That's not love. It's not love. Love hopeth all things. Love hopes that person will turn around. Amen. I tell people all the time. Just one message will turn a life around. It may be not me preaching. It may be Brother Wiggins. It may be a song can turn a life around. Because the Holy Ghost can use these avenues to turn a life around. It may be one message, one song, when the Holy Ghost touches someone and changes their life. Can do it in a moment. We as Christians need to be careful not to give up on people too quickly. Amen. We need to be willing to go the extra mile and hope in people when others have stopped. Amen?
Yeah.
Is that what it's saying?
You're right.
That's what it says. Hopeth all things. And Paul's applying this to people now. Hopeth all things. We need to have hope in others.
hope in others. It's being optimistic. It refuses to acknowledge defeat. This is the great example of this is a parent whose child goes wayward. I don't know how many times, many, many times in the last 23 years of ministry, I've had a parent or even a grandparent come to my office and say, "Preacher, my daughter has done this or my grandchild has done this. And preacher, what do you think I should do?" I said, "Well, you know, go through it, what I think. Sometimes it's, well, you should take some things away. You should be careful, not condone the sin, and da-da-da-da-da." And then I always say at the end, I said, "You know what, though? I'm not in your position. They are not my child. That is not my grandchild. My love for them is different than your love for them." You say, "Preacher, you think I should kick him out of the house and da-da-da-da?" And I said, "Yeah, I think you should. Mentally, logically, you should kick them out of the house. You should do this, this, and this. But I'm not the dad. I'm not the mom. And your hope for them may be, maybe a little better than my hope for them." Amen? As a parent? Again, there's a time when the mind should kick in. But that hope should endure. Hopeth all things. Hopeth all things. Love forgives. Love gives a second chance. Love forgives 70 times 70, not once or twice or three times.
Amen.
Love is expressed by our Lord Jesus who forgave us. Love is expressed by going beyond the call of duty. Love is the driving force behind hope. By the way, I love the Lord. Do you? My hope is in Him. I'm looking forward to Him returning. I believe in the blessed hope. I hope in Him. And it hasn't happened yet. I'm 41 years old. It still hasn't happened. But I hope. That word hope there means confident expectation. I know it's going to happen.
Amen.
It's just a matter of time. It could be today. Love never gives up hope in anyone. Jesus never gave up on you. Pretty telling, isn't it? Lastly, sort of, love endureth all things. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this one. It basically means love is strong. In other words, love cannot be conquered. Love endureth all things. When others let us down, love keeps loving. It just keeps loving. It keeps caring. It keeps that hope alive. It's just love keeps on going. It's really speaking of an unconditional love. This is the kind of love we should have for our children and for our spouses. That unconditional love. We should have unconditional love for each other. Jesus has unconditional love for us. And this is so hard. I'm going to give you an application in a minute to help you with this. But love endureth all things. Is your love that way? That does it endure all things? Jesus' love endures. Love beareth all things. It's tender. Love believeth all things. It has faith in that person. Love hopeth all things. It hopes in others. Love endureth. It's patient. It's kind. It's generous. It's gracious. Then what does verse 8 say? Love never faileth. This is the one I want you to get this one now. Gifts will fail. Paul is saying this now. Paul is saying gifts will fail. The gifts of prophecy, the gifts of tongues, these will fail. They will cease to exist. And by the way, they have doctrinally, they have existed, ceased to exist. But love will never cease to exist. Riches will fail. Jobs will fail. Stuff will fail. But love will not. Stuff cannot be taken into eternity. But love in its acts can. Get this now. I can't take stuff with me. I can't take any stuff with me in eternity. Naked came out of my mother's womb and naked I will return. Right? Amen. Can't take stuff with me. Can't take the car with me. I can't take the house with me. I can't take my job with me. Can't take my bank account with me. All that stuff, I can't take it with me. But love, I can. The acts of love, I can. Giving to missionaries, that's an act of love. When I get to heaven, I'll receive that reward for that investment. The act of love towards our kids, the act of love towards your grandchildren, that's eternal. When you get to heaven, you'll reap the benefits for it. Amen. You reap the benefits for it now, but you really reap it in heaven. If you've lived right and done right and they've gotten saved, amen? I'm having to say amen to myself way too much. Help me out now. Thank you. It's love never faileth. Never, that's a pretty long word. Right? That's a long word. Charity never faileth. Listen, if you want to make investments that'll last for eternity, love each other. Love each other the way Paul has described it here. Suffereth long and is kind and all these things. Love that way and that love will last for eternity. It's an eternal investment. Love will endure. Those are not cliches. They're real. That's a real principle. Last forever. Love your spouse properly. Love your children properly. Love your grandchildren properly. Ooh, love your enemies properly. The Bible goes on to describe, hey, it's easy to love people that love you. But how about loving those who don't love you? Amen. Love the unlovable. Don't base your love upon someone's outward appearance. Be careful. Be careful. Love never faileth. First Corinthians chapter 13 describes the nature of love. And the nature of love, or the definition of love, is self-sacrificing. What better way to explain it or to illustrate it than a mother? It's Mother's Day. I don't know about you, but my wife works way harder than I do. A lot of you married up as well. What man in here did not marry up? Amen. A lot of ladies, a lot of mothers work full-time jobs. And I wish we lived in a society where that wasn't true. They work all day, they come home, and they're cooking the supper. They're washing the dishes. My clothes magically appear in my dresser. I don't know how it happens, but I go to the dresser drawer, I pull it out, there's socks in there. So it's magic. I go to the... And I always reference and encourage, man, if your wife works full-time and your husband, if you're not involved in helping at the house, you need to be involved in it. Amen? Amen, guys? We'll help you ladies out. But our mothers work so hard. They bear under the load. That beareth all things. A mother believeth and hopeth all things. I can't tell you how many times I've been in my office with a mother or grandmother. And the love that they show towards a grandchild or a child who's gone wayward is just an amazing, amazing love. And how they don't give up on them after others have. What an amazing love. Nothing like that maternal love. Amen. We need that kind of love. Mothers, thank you so much for loving that way. Amen. Ladies, it's an instinct. It's something. It's amazing how ladies can love that way. Some of us guys can be so hard and ungracious and unkind. Appreciate that. Even when I try to be serious, we all still laugh. Love. We should love. What a great example mothers lead for us. And mothers, I would encourage you to lead that. Show your daughters and your sons how to love that way. Model that love for them. I know most of you do. What a testimony. But the greatest illustration, picture, life of love is Jesus Christ Himself. Christ is kind. Jesus is not puffed up. Jesus beareth all things. Jesus believeth all things. Jesus hopeth all things. Jesus never fails us. His love will never let us down. His love is as wide and as long and as deep as eternity. That's the love of Jesus. What love? Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? Wonderful, wonderful. Oh, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? Wonderful His love to me. We can preach the love of Jesus. We can show you the nature of love. But when rubber meets the road, it's whether or not you apply it or not. Be ye doers of the word, the Bible says, and not hearers only. We can deceive our own selves sometimes by saying, I know this, but it's another thing to do it. So, preacher, how am I? I can't love the way that Paul's describing here. There's no possible way I can love the way Paul is describing here. The answer is, you are right. You cannot love that way. I can't love that way. By nature, I can't love that way. But the Holy Ghost that abides in you, if you're saved this morning, can enable you to love that way. The Holy Ghost will enable you and give you the grace you need to love your spouse the way you should love them. When you're suffering and when you're tempted to retaliate and break back and try to buck and do all that, man, love, the Holy Ghost will help you to love that person as you should love them. When you do feel like that temper is rising in you, and when you do feel like retaliating, when you do feel like getting out from underneath the load of life, you say, maybe this morning you're here and you're at the point and you say, well, fooey on my husband, or fooey on my wife, or fooey on my kids, and fooey on the bills, and fooey on the job, and fooey. Ask the Holy Ghost to enable you and empower you to love as you should love. I promise you, He will do it. If you'll just ask Him. When you got saved, you received the Holy Ghost. You received the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, and He is there to empower you to live the Christian life. He is there to empower you and to give you what you need to live a life of love. Secondly, how am I to live the Christian life in love, the way Paul's describing it? Number two, the love of Christ constraineth us. Listen closely. The God of the universe sent His Son down to earth, was born in a manger, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life for 33 and a half years, and yet was crucified on the cross, and yet was nailed to a cross. And there on the cross He bled and He died in order that I might have eternal life. In order that my sins might be forgiven, in order that I might escape hell, that wrath of God upon sin, in order that I might escape the devil's hell and have a home in heaven for all eternity. The love of Christ constraineth us. He came down for me. He humbled Himself for me. He who was rich became poor for me. That's love. What matchless grace. What love. He took my place. It was for me that He died on Calvary. And the love of Christ constrains me, compels me to love the way Jesus loved. You're here this morning. You're a Christian. Maybe your love has waned. For whomever it may be. Won't you come to the altar and say, Lord, help me to love the way I should love. Lord, help me to remember Calvary. And the love that You've shown for me. And help me to show that same love for others. Paul gave this church the nature of love. And basically saying to them, quit fussing and fighting. Quit being jealous of others in the church. Love one another as Christ has loved you. Love each other. Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. Go over to 1 John chapter 3 and 4 and read about the love that we should have for each other. Let's display that love. Let's have that kind of love for each other. That's only done by the enabling of the Holy Ghost. That's only done by thinking and viewing the cross as we should view it. The love of Christ constraineth us. If you're here this morning, you've never experienced the love of Jesus. Maybe you're here this morning, you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here this morning, you're not saved. You've never accepted Christ as your Savior. I want to beseech you, I want to beg you this morning to step out of your chair in just a minute, come to the altar. And someone, an adult down here will show you from the Bible how you can have eternal life. How your sins can be forgiven. How you can experience the love of Jesus. Christian, this morning, how's your love? So, preacher, I can't love the way you've been describing it the last few messages. No, you can't. With the Lord's help, you can. His enabling power. Let's all stand. Hymn 167, Just As I Am. Just As I Am. We all need to place ourselves at the foot of Jesus and learn from the man who exemplifies for us love. Allow him to teach us how to love each other as we probably and should do. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, God, for Paul's message. We pray, God, that you would help us to love properly. Enable us through your Holy Ghost, through your Holy Spirit, Lord, to love each other as we should. Love our spouses and our kids and grandkids, and our neighbor and our co-workers. Lord, help us to love our enemies as we should. I pray this morning, Lord, that you would remind us of the cross and the blood that was shed on Calvary, that it might compel us to love as we should. Lord, we thank you for what you'll do. In Jesus' name, amen.